This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
About it in the Wall Street Journal, it's already too late.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up, down, sideways.
The only problem you're going to have is that you didn't buy more.
Let me lock in that trade right now and get back to you with my secretary with an exact confirmation.
All right, buy or sell time. And on Mondays, we're going to do the stock watch after the weekend that was with the teams, with the big six that we talk about here on the show. This Tuesday, as you probably guessed. So we're going to do buy or sell stock watch today. And the first one on the docket, the Wyoming Cowboys. Buying or selling stock on this Cowboys team. And again, what we mean is, like, are they on the way up? Is it looking good, like they're going to win this weekend and that kind of thing? Or are they going to be better than we thought originally? We got negative bearded Nancy back there just shaking his head. You have made me more positive, and I don't like it. Wyoming Cowboys, we're buying or selling that stock, winning against Akron 10-0, and you're selling.
I am selling it. I think the stock is at its high. I've made my profit, and I am selling.
Wyoming burned me so much last year.
They will burn you again this year.
Maybe. And this isn't about whether or not they're going to win or lose this weekend. They should win. I think stock on the defensive side's up a little bit. So I don't think it's as high. Again, this Mountain West could be open. I like the weapons. Just they got a lot of yards, man. They had a lot of yards. They just couldn't get in the end zone. I'm going to buy it. I'm going to buy some Wyoming Cowboys stock today. UNC Bears.
I hope you make money off of that.
They beat Chadron State 17-3. However, Peter Castelli is out for the season. Unfortunately, today, I'm probably selling some of that stock. Their stock is down. Stock is down right now, Mike. So we got to be careful.
Yeah, I put a stop loss on that, and the stop loss has hit, so it's already sold.
Yeah, and I hate that, but we'll see.
I'm still calling them 3 wins.
That would be okay. 3 wins would be a big... That would be a big production for this Bears team. But I'm selling stock today.
And I would say I would be thrilled if they went way higher.
Air Force. They covered the 30-point-plus spread against Bucknell. Buying or selling stock, and I'm buying that stock. I didn't think Air Force had it in them to cover a 30-point spread. And they did. So I'm going to buy some of that stock. You probably didn't see the Air Force game, but just knowing that they whooped up on Bucknell. Nothing? Doesn't do anything for you?
I mean, it's Bucknell.
Yeah, maybe. But it's Air Force. They don't play in a style where they blow people out by 30, even if they're heavily favored.
They belted the buckle, so it's not that big of a deal.
I'm rolling my eyes.
I'm waiting. I'm going to see what other people do. I'm waiting on the sideline to see what the stock does.
So you're not buying or selling.
So I'm not going to buy or sell on this one.
Good job. Way to ride a fence.
Wait on the sideline.
Way to ride a fence.
I'm going to be very conservative on this trade.
The easy way to ride a fence is you just put the post in your mouth. Dwight Schrute, The Office.
Yeah, I'm going to continue to do research before I invest.
Yeah, the Colorado State Rams. You thought it'd be $80 million to nothing.
No, I thought it would be about 20.
Well, it was, what, 17?
I didn't think it would be this close at half, but I had prepared myself to see something like
this. So
that's
got to make you buy. That's got to make you buy some CSU stock today, then.
A little bit.
Really?
I bought a little bit of CSU stock.
I'm buying a little bit of CSU stock. I even put a post out on X. I said, "Hey, my bad, guys. My bad. This team." And even though the loss ended up getting close to the non-covered, they covered. But I'm buying a little of the stock. Again, still weird things. I didn't like how Dupree was not used in the second half. I didn't like how I didn't like the fake field goal. I like either kicking the field goal or if you absolutely feel like you need to. I mean, make that a one-score game because anything can happen in a one-score game. So kick the field goal, get down by seven. So I didn't like that.
I didn't like it either.
A little overthinking or trying to get too cute, trying to get too fancy. But if you're going to go for it, I agree. Don't put put your best guys in there. Give it your best shot. What's that?
I do have that.
You have that play? Let's play it.
This because Taj Bullock, he's not the normal holder.
There you go.
So this is a fourth down. This is at the 34-yard line of Washington. Hankins, the kicker's in motion. Bullock's got it. They're going for it on fourth down, sack!
I mean, did they know that he wasn't the normal holder? Because if you see him come in, don't you just automatically go, yeah, it's fake. And they've already been watching him be a Swiss Army knife throughout the night. Not all night, but a couple of plays here and there. I see that guy line up to hold a kick, and I'm thinking, yeah, they're probably going to fake it.
Yeah, they should have sprinkled him in a couple times earlier. Or just had him in the entire game.
Being the holder the whole time, right?
Yeah, I don't think that was a good move. I mean, it was a long kick. Just kick it or go for it on fourth down. That's the biggest criticism I've seen all game other than Washington's just not great defense.
Well, I didn't like how they didn't use Jalen Dupree at the end of that game. That was bothersome to me. But overall, I'm buying stock. Colorado Buffaloes. You buying or selling any of that stock after they lose to Georgia Tech? Georgia Tech was a 4-point favorite, covered the spread, got a late touchdown, and the Buffs had two timeouts in their pocket with over a minute left, didn't use them. Coach Prime kind of saying, hey, we got out of bounds on a few of those, though, so we didn't need them. I kind of see it, but it was still kind of a head-scratcher. At one point, they should have called a timeout. I expected this to happen, that it might be a touchdown, maybe two, but I think Georgia Tech's good. I think Georgia Tech's going to be pretty darn good this year. So, I'm buying some CU stuff. Listen to me, man. I'm Mr. Positive today. The only one I'm selling is UNC, and that's because they just lost their starting quarterback. I would do that with every single team that we talk about.
I'm selling just a little bit, and the reason why is they had that 7-0 lead. And the reason why they had that 7-0 lead was because they had several turnovers. And I was talking to the intern on Friday, and I said to him, that's the only reason why that's ahead. As soon as those turnovers evaporate, they're going to start losing. And boom, halftime, 13-12, 13-10.
KFKA. Georgia Tech had what do they have? Two or three turnovers in that first quarter.
Yeah, three.
Yeah.
And they were only able to capitalize and get 7 points.
That is rough.
That's why I'm selling my stock. Like, you should be able to get more. Now, this is Georgia Tech. They're a good team. But if you want to play with the big boys, you got to play big.
Yeah. I don't think they are the big boys. I mean, I'm not buying stock like that. I still think this is a 6-7 win team. Now, they got some interesting matchups coming up. You know, they're taking on Delaware this weekend. Got to win that one. At Houston, probably should win that one. And then Wyoming comes to town on September 20th. And again, Wyoming's got a tough-nosed defense, man. Could be a low-scoring type of game. Now, I did see a tweet on X or a post on X about Juju Lewis perhaps getting some real playing time this weekend. Does that mean he's going to start? Does that mean they've had enough of Salter already? Are they going to go ahead and start paving the way for the future? I mean, Salter was 17 to 28, one touchdown. He made some good moves around in the pocket to set himself up to make some decent throws. He's just overthrowing or underthrowing guys. So, I mean, it could be rough. Houston beat Stephen F. Austin 27 to nothing. You know, whatever. I think that Houston game is a winnable one, but I'm not entirely sure. I mean, that's at Houston. Could be a tough game. So you could come out of this 2-2 in non-conference play. Not the end of the world. Especially because all offseason, I kind of had this feeling that Georgia Tech was going to win. But, you know, Wyoming, that should be a Buffs win. But what if Wyoming suddenly finds a little bit more offense? I mean, they found the yards, dude, against a bad Akron team. But still a relatively young group and new coach, all that stuff. I think CU wins that, but if they have problems in that game, then that really has you in a tough spot. Big game this weekend for the Cowboys. They got to beat Northern Iowa because they have top 25 Utah and coming to town, and then at Colorado. Could be. I mean, this game, the game against Utah, is in Laramie. They got a great home field advantage set up there, so it could be all right. But they got a good fan base there, Mike. You know that. I don't know. They'll probably get blown out. They got to beat Northern Iowa. Go 2-0. Probably wrap up 2-2 in the conference and see if you can make some noise in the Mount West Conference. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Mike, let's do this. We got our trivia segment. Right now, we'll do it now. Diamond Valley Collectibles in Windsor. I stopped by this place last week, and it is awesome. So, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. We got trivia. So here's the deal. Every week, we're going to collect 5 winners. And then on Friday, we'll put the names in a hat. You'll win a $25 gift certificate if we pull your name. But you got to get in. You got to test your trivia skills here. And then if you win, every week's winner will be put into a bigger pot. You'll be eligible for the $100 gift certificate and a signed jersey. Still getting details on that. But Diamond Valley Collectibles in Windsor, they got everything, dude. Everything. If you're a collector, sports cards, you name it. Here's the question. Jalen Dupree ended the game against Washington with 15 carries for over 90 yards. My question today, first caller to get this right, First Advantage text line, or First Advantage hotline, 970-353-1310. How many carries of the 15, how many carries did Jalen Dupree have in the second half against the Washington Huskies? We've said it on this show twice now. So if you're doing your homework, you got it. This isn't an easy Google search. You could go look at his box score, but you got to figure it out. How many carries did running back Jalen Dupree have in the second half against Washington? Be the first caller to get it right, and you're in the mix for the $25 gift certificate for our wonderful new partners, Diamond Valley Collectibles in Windsor. So pumped about these guys. I mean, telling you, you got to get in the store and check it out. So how many carries did Jalen Dupree have in the second half against the Washington Huskies? First caller is in the mix. For this week, it would be a 1-in-4 shot to win the $25 gift certificate to Diamond Valley Collectibles. 19 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break here, and we'll get into some more from the weekend that was. Broncos are in the mix this weekend going up against the Titans, so we'll talk about that. It's the whole show. I'll be right back.
Sweat it, NoCo. With cooler temperatures upon us, that only means more red-hot takes. A Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name. when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
I tell you about Renaissance Insurance. Ryan's the guy to call, 970-674-8825. They specialize in things like risk management, and they're the go-to for farming operations for Weld and Larimer County. So check these guys out, man. Seriously, they get the community. That's Renaissance Insurance. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825. So we got the winner, and the answer was four. He had four carries in the second half of that game. 15 carries, 92 yards, one touchdown, only four carries in the second half. That was a problem.
Yeah, I had a chance to talk to Greg, our first registry, and he was very critical about the second half play calling. And I actually agree with him on that.
No,
I thought, run the ball more.
Run the ball. Don't fake field. Don't get too cute, man. I liked that CSU was in this game. There's more positives than negatives because I thought Washington was going to, you know, essentially 22, 23 points, however you want to classify that. Is that a blowout? Depends on how it goes, I guess. But the fact that this was tied up at halftime, 14 apiece, and then it was tied again in the third at 21, that a lot of times the first half can be like, okay, they got shell-shocked a little bit and maybe things will. But then you're still in the game at the end of the third quarter. That gave me a lot of high hopes for this team. Still didn't think they're... I had a feeling they weren't going to pull it out. And then you have the interception and then the fake field goal. The interception led to a field goal that put them up 10. And then you had the fake field goal, turnover on downs, whatever. Washington goes and scores a touchdown. And that pretty much was it. So I just didn't like the decision to go for the fake field goal. Putting Taj Bullock out there is kind of a dead giveaway, and I don't care. I mean, the announcers seem to think that he wasn't the regular holder. Honestly, I wasn't paying attention to it throughout the night if he was the regular holder or not, but I would imagine the Huskies were thinking the same thing.
Yeah, they announced it almost immediately.
Yes.
Now, he's not the regular holder.
Right.
I don't know which one announced it, but...
But they did on the broadcast.
I'm going like, uh-oh, are they going to fake it? As soon as they said, not the regular holder...
Yeah. Texter says the answer for the trivia question is not enough. Why did the sheep stop running the ball? I don't know.
Because they were playing like sheep.
And even if you get down by 10.
And they were being herded.
Dude, 10 points outside of like 4 minutes, left in the game, you still run the ball. I mean, you still got to do what has gotten you there. The dude was averaging 6.1 yards per carry. Mike said they wanted to get Lloyd Avant some carries. Okay, is this about like teaching people and getting them reps, or is this about trying to win a football game? And this is where I think Rams fans are frustrated, because you say you want to be big time. You want to be in the Pac, well, you are in the Pac-12, and you want that conference to be one of the big conferences. At some point, don't you have to start beating teams like this? And maybe that's just not in the stars for the way this is set up. But CSU, the good part of that is that they showed me that they belonged in this game. I think they showed a few, but then there's the negative. It's like, I'm tired of just the ceiling is show that you belong on the same field. I'm tired of that being the thing. And we're moving to the Pac-12, and we've got a beautiful stadium and wonderful facilities. We got a new AD that's bringing in fresh ideas, and yet the results are still, it wasn't Texas. It wasn't, I guess it was CU. I mean, 38-21. What was the score in the CU game last year? Was it 28-9 or something like that? I mean, that game felt deflating. When you lost it like that and you didn't compete, This game was almost the same results. Yeah, they lost 28-9 to the Buffs. I mean, very similar. And yet, this game had me kind of thinking, okay, this is different then. You know, if the Rams would have lost by 19 last year, or if they would have lost by 19, but it was like, it was, 14-14 at one point, early third, then you go, all right, the Buffs went out, or the Rams went out, and they were battling with the Buffs. And then suddenly, bad thing happens, turnover, whatever. Then you at least can go, okay, we tried to compete, but that was bad. This game was different, but still the same result. And I think that's where the frustration is coming. Now, I don't think this is it for the Rams. I don't think, oh, no, they lost to Washington, a team they were supposed to lose to. Now the sky is falling. But I think Rams fans are frustrated with, is this it? Are we never going to get over that hump where you can go beat a Washington team? Where you can pretend to compete with a Texas? A Texas is a different tier. But is that it? And now you're going to the Pac-12, and you're really hopeful that this Pac-12 turns into whatever it's going to turn into. And I know you're laughing. I agree. I at this stage, I can't look at that and say, yeah, Pac-12 is ever going to be classified as a Power Four conference. I mean, this is not happening. 9-3-1.
They need anchor teams, and those two teams, like, they aren't right. Anchor teams.
And CSU's not an anchor team, and Boise State was supposed to be your anchor team, and Boise State just got beat the hell up by South Florida. And then Oregon State and Washington State, they're okay, but they're not anchors. You can even admit in the Big Ten, Washington is not the anchor of that conference, even though they were in a national championship not that long ago, but they weren't the anchor.
They weren't even the anchor in
the
Pac-12.
Yeah, I mean, the anchor was like Oregon and USC and Utah. But you have to have those. If you can't compete against the non-anchors and you're a non-anchor, then, yeah, those are tough situations. Texture from the 9-3-1, it was like not giving Marshawn Lynch the ball at the end of the Super Bowl. Run the ball. Do what's working for you. Yeah. Texture from the 303. Do we know that runs for Dupree weren't called in the second half and a fully loaded box meant BFN checked into a different play? Could have happened. Brohard was on with us earlier saying that it did sound like if Norvell had to do it over again, he would give Dupree the ball a lot more. So from that, was it like a Sean Payton thing where he had to write it down on his play sheet, run the damn ball? He just kind of forgot and decided to go with BFN. And listen, Braden Fowler-Nicolosi certainly had some moments. I love that touchdown pass to Jackson Warren, but he throws off of his back foot a lot, and you do not have to be a football scientist to watch him and go, every time he's blitzed or in trouble, he does tend to throw it off of his back foot, and that's what quarterbacks that don't succeed at high levels do.
I think it's going to be a long, and I'm sorry to everybody, but I think it's going to be a long time before CSU becomes truly relevant again.
Is it not going to be under Jay Norvell?
Maybe if he's good enough and they give him a shot, but I just think, like, with these conferences and the Pac-12 not having truly anchor teams, anchor schools, you're just not going to be great enough to be. You're going to have to schedule really difficult opponents. You're going to have to schedule Washington's every year and try to beat them every year. You're going to have to do that. That's the only way to get better commits. That's the only way you're going to have to do it.
You
got to
schedule them and you got to beat them. Like if UNC shows, North Carolina shows up against TCU, how much did that blowout already instantly affect future recruits? Like, oh it's Bill Belichick, neat, but can he actually do this? Because I want to go somewhere that's going to further my career. I want to win. And if I win and I'm good, then I'm going to go pro. But can I do that? I get that he's got pro connections. And again, it's going to take a lot of bad things for people to turn down a Bill Belichick. But the talent was nothing compared to what TCU put on the field last night. And it didn't get any better. With every win, every loss increases or decreases slightly, or maybe a lot, but mainly slightly, your attractiveness to recruits. If you get blown out on national television, and you get your girlfriend coming out there on the sidelines, it's not just the kids that look at it. It's the parents that are like, I'm not sending my kid there. We've got South Carolina offers. We've got a bunch of it. We got Washington offers. We're not going to go to North Carolina just because Bill Belichick's there and he won Super Bowls. This is a different world that we're in. So when you get blown out like that, game one, I get it. It's a bad look. Texter says, is the Pac-12 any different than the current Mountain West Conference right now?
Slightly better because your anchor schools are better. They're just not quality
they're not,
every year.
Oregon State and Washington State, when they were in the old Pac-12, were not anything close to being called anchors.
Except for that final year where they were good. But they were always just like up and down. Oregon State, you could trust them to be like in the toilet bowl every year, except for like once every 10 years, they were great.
It's just very basic. Like, they weren't anchors in the old Pac-12. All the Pac-12 left except for those two teams. They're the anchors now. Something is not adding up. Those are not monster anchors. Now, if Washington's in the new Pac-12, that's a little bit better. But it still wasn't an anchor in the old Pac-12.
Yeah, but if Washington is in it, that still doesn't make it a Power 5. Like one really quality school and then a couple of others, they've been really good before and gone to legit bowl games. Like Oregon State's been on a January 1st bowl game.
Yeah.
So has Washington State.
Yeah.
But it's so rare for them to do that.
Right. And that's all about recruiting and, you know, consistency. It's hard to build a winner. Once you build a winner, things get pretty good. It gets so much easier to recruit. But getting to that stature, getting to that consistent, hey, we're no worse than 8 wins, 9 wins. And at best, we're typically competing for our conference championship, or we're at least in the mix there. There's only so many teams that can do it every single year.
And this isn't like the NFL where, like, the Denver Broncos can be good every year and their conference can just be toilet bowl.
Yeah.
This is a team effort with the conferences.
Yeah.
Conference has to be good too.
You're not going to tank and draft the best player. If you tank, you don't. It's the opposite of the NFL. If you are bad, you don't get the best player. If you are really good, you get rewarded for that. If CSU goes into Washington in that tough environment and wins, I guarantee you suddenly calls maybe players that weren't picking up the phone, maybe at least answer to see what the recruiting coach has to say. Texter from the 303, of course the new Pac-12 isn't a power conference, but sooner rather than later, it's the Big Ten and SEC and everyone else. The minute Deion has finished at CU, they will be on the same level as CSU, not the Big Ten or the SEC, and that's probably where we agree. A lot of this is all Game of Thrones, Mike. You know, in Game of Thrones, where it was politics, and if you play the Game of Thrones, you win or you die. It was all the politics, right? But at the end of the day, the White Walkers were all looming, and that was the big issue. Like, you could do all this different stuff, and you got all these characters battling out for the crown and the throne and all that stuff. But at the end of the day,
the NIL was across.
The real problem is on the horizon that's going to destroy the entire world. And you guys are bickering over this. It is kind of like that. We're talking about, will the new Pac-12 ever be a part of the big? No. At the end of the day, the White Walkers are going to win, and it's going to be the SEC and the Big Ten and then everybody else.
Yeah, it will be that. It's going to have to take a few brave schools to say no more. Like a few brave schools who are just like, I'm tired of the SEC and the big, the pack. I call them the big pack.
Mm-hmm.
Or because, you know, look, there, a couple schools are going to have to drop out and form their own conference and say, okay, we're going to be the third conference. And they're going to have to fight against those three, because you don't want to have just two conferences and then a bunch of nobodies, or even just not have an NCAA, have someone alternate to the NCAA.
Yeah, but we've seen this before. You're not going to create another, like the NFL, they keep trying to create these semi-pro leagues. It's not possible. You're not going to. College, you're not going to be able to recreate. Like if they move up and the CFP is just the SEC and the Big Ten, and then they just pick off the scraps from the other school or the other conferences, the bowl teams, the bowl season, it'll be nothing. Like, we all get excited. Some people get excited for the FCS playoffs. I think they do it right. And there's actually some pretty good games. They're kind of fun to watch. But it's not something that we're all like, oh my gosh, that over Ohio State and Texas? No, never. So it's all fun, and maybe there would be an audience for it, but not the big money audience that allows you to really grow. So, yeah, I agree with the texter on that. Like, that's where we're headed. College students need energy from their coaches, from the texter 931. Bill can't be the same sideline energy, that same sideline energy, which was non-existent, that he was in the NFL. He shows no emotion. They show no emotion. Yeah, when they scored a touchdown, they panned to Bill, and he's just like, you can't be that guy. I mean, you just can't. I know he's trying to be young and hip, and like he's got a young girlfriend, and she's on the sidelines now. That's a distraction. That is a distraction, and the fact that he can't see that is crazy to me.
He's gone in 2 years.
See, I thought he'd be a playoff coach in 2 years. But that was, to be fair, that was before this whole girlfriend thing. Brady, are you saying that the woman's going to destroy his career? I'm saying the way he's going about it is not good. Because I've never even seen a coach's wife on the sidelines during a game. I've never seen it.
You never seen a player's family on the bench unless they're about to get arrested.
Yeah, 40 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break here and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFK.
Is that ending credits from Sinners? Oh, no, it's not. Man, that sounded like it, though. That sounded like it, Mike.
That's Chickenfoot.
All right. Swing and a miss on that one. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Want to shout out to one of our amazing sponsors, and that is Mosquito Joe. They were the number one franchise this year. And Mosquito, we're not out of that territory yet. We also have some exciting things to talk about with Mosquito Joe and what they do when we get into fall and winter. But you still want to keep those bugs and pests off your patio this fall, summer fall mix we're in right now. Go to noco.mosquitojoe.com. First Advantage text line, again, 888-530-0043. Yeah, all in all, college sports, careful, because it sounds so freaking cliche, but 1 week is not like the next. It's just absolutely nuts. You know what I am excited about, though? Get the Broncos back in action this weekend. Mike, we got our opponent's preview that we got rocked a few weeks because we were off, and then I was out a week. We just finished up Houston, and I think that I had the Broncos at 3 losses at that point. And then they're going up against Las Vegas. I'm just going to skim through because we've only got a few days. Las Vegas, I got them winning that game. Home against Kansas City. I just can't go there.
That's a win.
That's 4 losses. At Washington.
They'll definitely beat the Huskies.
I think that's a loss. That's 5 losses. Home against Green Bay. I don't know. I think Denver can win. Home against Jacksonville. Yes. At Kansas City. That's a loss. 6 losses. Home against the Chargers. They're going to be 11-6, Mike. Is that right? 11-6. How you feel?
You are 6 games off.
I'm one game. They're 1 game better than they were last year, which makes us feel better about it. I am going 11. Now, I've been known to go with 11. I didn't go with 11 last year. I think they're going to win 11 games this year.
What did you have them last year?
8. They won 10. 8 or 9. 8 or 9. I was close. I was closer than you were. You said 17.
That's true.
You were 7 games off, and I was 2 games off. So,
and boy, did I enjoy that Kool-Aid.
Yeah. I'm excited, though. I'm really curious to see R.J. Harvey in action in a regular season game. I think maybe that's one of the more excited dudes or guys I'm most excited about seeing this weekend. The new guys. Hopefully, I mean, Dre Greenlaw, and not new, but Alex Singleton. I'm curious to see how the Broncos are going to handle their playing time. So that will be fascinating because I think Greenlaw is going to be a stud if he can stay healthy. But I'm ready to get going. Got the Titans. I've got the picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that. But I did go through my predictions with the Broncos. It is going to change week to week based on like my season long prediction at the beginning is different than week to week because you learn more about them. You figure it out. Like if you lose to Tennessee, then I don't have a lot of faith. I know it's early, but you got a rookie quarterback in there. I don't got a lot of faith. They have a lot of issues in Tennessee. So that's why week to week doesn't sync up with my yearly predictions. What do we learn coming up next? It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Join Kyle Johnson and Bruce Dick for the high school football game of the week. Fridays on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
All right, what did we learn on this Tuesday? It can't get too high and too low at this point. None of the games I witnessed over the weekend would tell me that the team is a world beater or the worst team in college football. Nobody was destroyed. Kind of went how I thought. I went 3-2 in the picks, off by a few with Air Force, off by a few in the Washington CSU game. So sky's not falling, Mike. Or it's
I learned that, and I learned it over the weekend, that CSU and Washington are both to blame for Washington's offense. I think CSU played very well, game planned for the most part very well, and Washington just played really Swiss cheese.
We'll see what happens next for Colorado State as they play host to UNC on Ag Day. UNC is going to try to do something crazy without their starting quarterback.
Ooh.
All right, we'll be back at it. We got Preps training camp coverage continuing for the rest of the week at 5 o'clock. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.